Once again, good morning, and grace and peace and mercy are yours this day through the crucified Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan is probably one of the best known stories in all of the Bible. It's made it into our common language. We even have Good Samaritan laws put in place to protect those who would help others. And yet, perhaps my guess is most of the time we read the story and we hear kind of the moral of the story. And the moral of the story, well, you should help your neighbors when they're in need, even if you don't know them, and my goodness, maybe even if you don't like them. That's the moral. And that's not a bad thing. If everyone here, if all of us left church today and we remembered that, that'd be good. So if that's what you go with, good for you. But my sense is there might be more to the story. I'm mindful that when Jesus tells stories like this, there's often more to it than just a simple moral. For instance, it begins with a lawyer coming to test Jesus. Do we have any lawyers among us today? Don't be shy. Yes, I'm good, good. I'm glad you're not shy. Thank you for what you do in the world. Really, we are in need of good lawyers in the world. And we know you need lots of prayer, too. So we pray for you. It's wonderful. The lawyer that comes to Jesus in the scripture, though, is a scriptural lawyer. It's a religious lawyer. So this man's job would be to know every little detail of God's command in the scripture, down to the very minute detail. And with the intention that if you know what to do and know how to direct it, then you can actually do it. How far does that law go? So I know how to do it. Well, he comes up to Jesus and perhaps wanting to see if Jesus really is legit. To see how much Jesus knows. To see if Jesus understands who God is. He tests him. So he says, "Hey, Jesus, what do you need to do in order to inherit eternal life?" And you can kind of see the smile spread across Jesus' face because he says, "Well, you're a lawyer of the scripture. What does it say there?" And the lawyer says, "Well, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "I knew you knew it. That's the right answer. Do that, and you will live." Now, something happens in the lawyer at this point, because he goes on to ask another question. He asks, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And I sense that he knows that the ability to do that command depends entirely on how far that command goes. And I wonder, what is our success rate at that? Now we're going to take a poll. Are you ready? First, think about all of your relationships that you have and have had. Relationships with your parents, with your children, with a spouse, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your people down the street, with your in-laws, with anybody. And think about all of the ways you've spent your money in your life, the purchases you've made, the way you've invested, what it's gone to, what it's not gone to, and such like that. Also, then think about all of the inner thoughts you have from day to day that you've had over the course of your life, or your spirituality, how faithful you feel you've been. Now, with a show of hands, how many have loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Yes, Pastor Dixon. We're aware, Pastor Dixon. We're aware. My sense is that the lawyer knows that this is a difficult commandment to uphold. And so he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Because he's doing what any good lawyer would do, looking for a loophole. So Jesus says, some guy is going down the road, gets beaten up, left for dead on the side. And a priest comes by, going up to Jerusalem. Now the priest's task was to do the ritual purification rites and oversee that for the people in the temple. And there was a rule that says a priest should not touch a dead body before doing so. Otherwise, the priest would be made unclean and rendered unable to do the rites. So the priest comes by, sees potentially a dead man on the side, and passes by. The Levite next comes by, the Levite from the tribe that would assist the priest in the ritual holy purification rites in the temple. And again, the same thing happens, seeing the man, passes by in order to remain clean. Next, a Samaritan, an enemy of the Jewish people. Samaritans who were thought by the Jews to not follow the right rules, to not be pure and clean and holy, who had intentionally gone away from the true faith. And it's the Samaritan who sees the man, goes down into the ditch, bandages the wounds, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to the inn, cares for him there, pays the innkeeper for that stay, and whatever else may be occurred. Now, here's how you know that Jesus is a great rabbi, because he never answers anybody's questions. When he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, what does it say in the scripture?" When the man says, "Who is my neighbor?" You get to the end and Jesus doesn't say, "Your neighbor is the person in the ditch." Jesus says, "Who was neighbor to the man?" And do you notice he doesn't even answer the person's question? He doesn't ask, "Who was the man's neighbor?" He says, "Who was neighborly?" So many of the times this story has been told only as, well, help everybody in need. But Jesus goes further. He seems to understand that every life matters, and that all lives won't matter until the Samaritan's life matters to the Jewish lawyer, and also until the person in the ditch matters more than staying clean and holy. Where does the commandment end? It ends in love and mercy. The commandment is not given so you can know who your neighbor is and isn't. It's commanded so that you may live in love and mercy. Now, my goodness, that's difficult. I have trouble loving the neighbors in my own household. And so where does it put me? I confess, along with you, that I have not been able to uphold love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And thus, I am in need of a Savior. In fact, it might put me in the ditch. I have a great friend and gospel preacher, my friend Meta Carlson. She said about this parable, instead of listening to just the morality tale, be kind to people, she said, listen from the ditch. Today, given the roads, that might be easy to do. And if you find yourself there, look for Jesus. Because this story is for you. It's for anyone. It's for everyone. Because Jesus is the one who is neighborly to us all, who is constantly traveling the roads, a Christ who is always stopping in his tracks to find us lying in our own ditches, and instead of passing us by, goes down to bandage the wounds, to lift you up, to bring him with you to safety. He is the one who is ultimately neighborly to everyone. He is the one who joins everyone, the whole world, in the ditch. He joins you. And then, at the end of the story, in the midst of all that, he just says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise with anybody you see in the the ditch.